Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
What does the preliminary final feel like?
It is full to the rafters. Prelim final underway.
Exhilarating.
They're through to a grand final.
Everything on the line, no tomorrow.
It's all or nothing now.
You just feel the adrenaline running through the body.
Pulsating game of footy.
This is what you've been waiting for all year.
You can feel your heart race. Keeping the dream of the ultimate prize alive. Time to go.
Smash the Sharon down to get this thing underway.
The intensity of the finals definitely goes up a notch.
Absolutely, it goes to another level.
Everything to play for.
It's hard to describe. In fact, you can't describe.
It's as good as it gets.
Listen to the roar!
Ream Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M rocks finals footy.
Good to see you back here, Chief.
This is really exciting. You know when you haven't caught up with great mates for a long time? This is nothing like that.
Guess who's back again. Chief is back. Tell a friend.
All right, this is just one of the most ridiculous stitch-ups of all time.
Oh, yes, welcome along. Preliminary final night Friday. Coming to you from the West. What a game of football this is. Melbourne versus Geelong. We have got guests galore to talk about it. Corey Enright, Alan Richardson to cover both sides off. We're going to go in-depth and analyse it later in this show. But don't worry, all your regulars are here. Nash top five cult hero, if you don't mind. Rodney Grinter, who spent some time on the Chief. Looking forward to that. The quiz is back. So much to get through. And the Chief is back, and we'll introduce him in a moment, but the captain is always here. Hello, Darcy.
Good to be with you, Howie, on prelim final night. You love this time of the year, and I love the fact the Chief's brought his own stinger in, and he was rapping along a bit like Eminem to one, the Chief.
He was.
He's back, and that's a good thing, the Chief.
Nath Brown is here. Hello, Nate.
G'day, Howard. You always get a bit sad when you haven't won a premiership, played in two prelims, and you get to this point, and I look to the man to my left, and he's won four flags at Hawthorn, but... And I had to be honest, Damo could have played full forward on that side and they still would have won the flag. They were that good, the Hawks. He had silver service. But it gets set up tonight, I reckon, for Chris Scott because Melbourne, I think, are the best side in it. And Geelong have to take something away from him. Does he do something different with Lever tonight or Clayton Oliver? So can't wait for the matchup.
Damien Barrett is out of quarantine. He is living the life of a loose cannon in the West. And he's at the ground, which is, in all seriousness, fantastic, mate. Great to see you. And great to see you out and about after a couple of weeks locked in your hotel room.
G'day, Howard. Yeah, that time kicked over this morning. And as I speak, Howard, just walked into Optus Stadium and there's just the lightest of light drizzles coming across. I don't normally talk about the weather, but there is forecast up to a mil at some stage. But it's only light at this stage and I've just checked the radar and it seems to be dissipating too.
Fantastic, Dame. I'll bring you all the news on selection and the news floating around the trades, Lockie Neal, etc. But finally, after a couple of weeks where we still don't know exactly what happened to our man, he was with us all through the season, got to the first final,
down,
and he just wasn't here.
Disciplinary reasons.
I don't know if he was dropped, it was disciplinary reasons, I don't know if he had a blue with the coach, or he wasn't performing, but he can answer all those questions. But the big Chief, with that big cheesy grin and sort of welcoming smile on his face, is here. Hello, Jason.
Good evening, everyone. How good's this? Can I just say off the top?
Yes.
I feel for Brownie's kids. I genuinely do. Because he's homeschooling them and he thinks I'm sitting on his left. I mean, we've got real problems if he can't tell left from right. Now, I'm glad I'm working with him tonight because he's played a couple of prelims. It's really important. Who are we replacing him with next week, though? Because there's no point having someone that hasn't been to the big dance talking about what it's like.
Done a lot of the heavy lifting the last few weeks.
And that's what you do. That's what you do with your when you're running a relay, mate. You put the also-rans into qualify, and then you bring the big guns back for the final.
Well, funny you say that because Duck's in for grand final. that's official. But where have you been? Where have you been? It got to finals. We got here on a Friday night. You've been very good this year. You've lifted the ratings to a 13, the highest ever in the history of Triple M football, and then you weren't here.
Unfortunately, commitments required my presence at Fox Footy, Howie, because G Lion decided to head over to Perth and go on a little holiday, and we're hoping... kind of, that they get through and then rip his heart out on the big day. But so I've had to sort of come in and replace what Gaz has been doing.
But he'll probably be lifting the cup up, Chief, Gaz.
Well, what's it again? He wouldn't even know how to hold it, mate. What's the point of having someone presenting a cup that has no experience with it.
It does get you this time of year, Howie. I've got to be honest with you. It just when you sit around the big dogs like Chief with their four flags.
Is there no one alive from their last premiership?
Melbourne. 1964,
there's a few. I saw a chap on the news the other night, actually. He was talking about Ron Barassi. Is he still upright?
My word he is. Well, then he should be presenting the cup.
Right. Well, so you got overruled and Fox said you had to go in there and do the tibble. Is that the way it worked?
Yep.
Okay. Well, Darce and I, we're pumped to have him back.
Couldn't be more excited to get the Chief back.
Here comes the payoff.
Chief, not all the team was quite excited. Damo was excited, but I think it was a bit like the old two sort of big bulls in the packet. I just want you to hear a little bit of what's happened in the last 2 weeks, because Nath all of a sudden has found the ability to talk about football, which he hasn't had for the majority of the season. The other thing I think Nate is liking is the extra space without the Chief, just to do the specials by himself.
Certainly, put more swagger about him, Nate, no doubt about that.
He took that chance. The ball did come out the back. It was the only place he was going to get it, and he kicked the goal.
I'm not sure Nate Brown can keep this up. He's had his best quarter of football ever on the impact.
He's effectively, in footy terms, kicked five and had 10 of his own intercept marks, Nate Brown,
he's
in the first term.
Unbelievable. He's just been freed up without the big chieftain demanding the ball inside 50.
He didn't drift off. He didn't start looking at the internet. He wasn't on his cryptos. And Darce, he frickin' talked non-stop.
Actually talked a bit of sense as well, Chief.
He did.
Have you intimidated him this year?
No, but I guess it's a lot like when he was the self-proclaimed number one player in the competition. It was very short-lived, wasn't it?
Just the 10 weeks.
So I wouldn't expect him to go back-to-back. Let's be brutally honest.
You did enjoy it without the big boy, Nick. It was a bit like when Buddy left.
There was only one of us there. And obviously when Chief is here, he has won four premierships and he's a legend of the game. So I let him take about 52% of the special comments. And
52 or 82?
How come they didn't draft Daisy in?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure whether he
was
available.
Was there no one else available?
Well, I think what Nate was...
Have you backed away from the microphone?
I think what happened, Chief, was that...
What do you know there, Chief?
Nate was
calling... Well, I don't know. I just brought up a name and everyone sort of went, ooh.
No, I'm not sure either. But I think Nate was calling it Nate's paddock. Clear out the forward line. Give it to me. I don't want a sidekick. I only want the space of my own. Damo is my understanding.
No, it's a good point that Howie raised a moment ago too, Dust. The fact that Nathan has, on a couple of occasions this year on the Friday nights, lost a chip in his programming and lost the ability to talk at all.
Clocked off.
It is that never used to happen. It's only happened this year on Friday nights with Chief in his presence. So I think you're onto something there. I hadn't thought about it this way.
You're intimidated, I think you are, aren't you, by the big
Not game. Intimidated, just a team player, Howard. And when it was my turn to step up the last 2 weeks, I did it and I carried you two clowns as well.
Well, you were very good. Now, unfortunately, due to the world in which we live at the moment, Melbourne supporters from the heartland here in Victoria cannot be there to watch their team play. They would give an arm and a leg, probably sell a child, Darce. But if next week it comes to the grand final and they're not going to be allowed to go and watch their team, your heart bleeds for the red and the blue. And the fact they can't get there, Chief.
I've heard some extraordinary stories, Chief, around this 57-year drought. So there's people who have been waiting their entire life for the opportunity for Melbourne. We think they're in the box seat. You couldn't have a better preparation than Melbourne tonight. We know you've got to get past Geelong. But I heard a story that I believe is 100% true this week that four Melbourne supporters, they're a reasonably affluent group, the Melbourne supporter. They have been looking at a property in Perth, circa sort of $480,000. They were going to buy a quarter of it each, and they thought then that would give them residence in Perth. They were then planning to then get to the grand final, get their tickets on that basis, and then maybe flip the house. They were doing the stamp duty calculations and were legitimately seeing if they could pull it together. I feel for the Melbourne supporters who can't get there to see their
team. I love the fact that people were thinking outside the box, working out ways to go, because what exacerbates things even more is the fact that they can't go, but they won't, at this stage, they won't even be allowed to gather at someone's place, have a barbecue, watch it on the big screen together, get a few supporters together and really fire. I mean, imagine that. You don't even get to share it with anyone.
Well, the way we're going here, you might not be allowed to watch it on the TV, Chief. To be completely honest, that's
it. It ain't going great.
You
might only be able to listen to us on the wireless, and that's it.
Without getting too earnest about this, because the AFL have had a long-range view of this and a lot of things to do, but do you think, I mean, it's a massive thing to award the grand final of Perth. It's a huge win for the state of Perth. Do you reckon you could have said, for the 2,000 most, worthy supporters, quarantine through Howard Springs. We're going to make sure there's a channel open to you and we get at least some of the diehards, because without it, that is going to be heartbreaking.
It'll make sense, Duke. Trouble is, Duke, how do you do that when there's all these people overseas trying just to get home, just trying to get home into the country, and you want to take up a couple of thousand spots? I understand what you're saying.
It's a good point you're making.
I understand what you're saying, but we've just got to look at the big picture at times. But
I mean, some people, yeah, absolutely.
How's our roadmap out of all this looking? Going good?
Well, as I said, we'll be lucky. Well,
I'm kind of looking at a dark tunnel. Anyone seeing any light?
It's a work in progress, that roadmap.
Gladys was opening up the roadmap. I was watching Gladys last night on the news, and she had a roadmap going.
Yeah, she's had a roadmap from day one, Howie. Well,
what's our roadmap look like, Howie?
How's your man going, Duke, with his roadmap?
Well, I'm waiting. I think he's just – tonight he's working on it. I think we'll hear about it tomorrow.
Should we get him on a Friday night soon?
Oh, yeah, no, that'd be a good idea.
I think that would be fantastic.
That'd be a good idea.
Now you can stream every AFL match live with Triple M Footy.
That's as good as you get.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
Now, last week, late in the call, this little montage came up. We were drifting off a little bit, and it came round to body shape.
Didn't you find across history, life-framed men do some wonderful things?
Really?
Joe, not much to Joe Biden, is there? He's a pretty skinny bugger.
Glenn McGrath. Grace.
Mr. Bean. Jared Talent, the Olympic walker, he's skinny. Gold medalist.
Quite a lot of rock stars are skinny.
Yeah, that's very true.
Mick Jagger is a skinny man.
Yeah, he's a skinny great man.
He will be in your top five for
Jared
sure.
Jared Leto.
Yeah. Keith.
Brian May.
My man, the Snoop Dogg. Not much to him.
So you've got to be kidding me.
Well, hang on. Well, I was about to introduce what I was going to do.
You've started a conversation on body shape.
Yes.
And you're using drug-riddled rock stars. And endurance athletes as examples of how could they not be skinny?
That's a good point, Chief. It's a good point. You know what? I've had enough of this year. I've had enough of you blokes skinny shaming me.
It's not skinny shaming you. You're a freaking wimp.
What?
You just have to accept.
I've had a gutful of it, Chief.
You tip the scales at 38 kilos,
Howie.
That's
you make these jokes.
That's just called the data.
Howie, even I call you skinny.
Yeah, and I go home and I go home hurt by it.
Hang on a minute.
Then you come back the other way and you fat shame people, Howie.
No, I don't. You're skinny shaming me.
Even you're a surfer. You go to the beach a lot. I couldn't even guess how many times you've had sand kicked in your face. And I reckon you've probably copped it each and every time because you're a skinny little weanling.
Well, as a result.
We have never, apart from one moment where you blew up in a Chinese restaurant because you couldn't get chicken, I've never seen food into your mouth. In fact,
have you
ever seen him?
Every time we have food on a Friday night, he doesn't eat. He stormed out of a Korean restaurant to make sure that he didn't eat that night. He caused an absolute fuss. You wouldn't believe it.
They had 60 things on the menu, Chief.
I tell you what,
including 30 Chief with chicken and 30 with rice, and they couldn't combine chicken and rice in one dish, Chief.
You've never seen a bigger blow up.
Have you ever tried to keep your eye on Howie in dim light? If he turns side on, you're at shit, mate. You've got no chance. He's gone.
I find this hurtful, and it's skinny shaming. So as a result, I've gone and had a bit of a look at the world of AFL.
Be very careful about bullying fat people.
I'm not. I'm pumping up skinny people. I was going to do my skinny brothers and sisters, but when in my mind I started wandering in to skinny females, I thought, in the woke world, I'm not going to do that.
Probably the smartest thing you've done, Harry.
So what I've done, I've actually had a look, and you'll find, as I'm about to reveal to you, it's not a top five, but it's like a top five, that skinny men...
How many have you got?
Six.
Rolling out a top five.
That skinny men have dominated and are dominating the world of AFL. Now, I was going to put...
Skinny men.
I was going to put Nat Fife in this, two Brownlows, because he started... Oh, hang on.
You seen the build on him? He's about 98 kilos.
But he started at 72, but then 17, unfortunately he went to the bad side.
How old are you?
Everybody starts at 72. 50.
That's why he didn't get in there.
And most people do something about it. You just haven't.
You've got a body of a 12-year-old, Howie.
He probably would have won four Brownlows, but he doesn't get a run.
Even Duke started.
Even Chief was 74 when he started.
Like a prey mantis.
Just shut up for
when
a moment,
I was born, warrior.
Righto. Skinny blokes that are dominating in the world of AFL across the entire spectrum.
A top six.
This would be good.
Who do you reckon?
Well, when Snorkel rang me during the week and said, you've got top five off this week because Howie's claiming it.
It's not a top
five. And
then
I got a call back to say, actually, Howie doesn't think it's strong enough. You got your top five.
You better do one.
Howie was on again. He's backed over it.
This is for all the skinny men out there that get sand kicked in their face like me to give them a bit of pride when they walk down the street, all right?
Skinny AFL players dominating.
That's just not AFL players. Those in the AFL industry that are dominating. Number five for mine.
I thought it was top six.
Well, no, Nat Fife didn't fit in, so he would have been our outlier.
Oh, so he doesn't fit in because he's really heavy.
But he started at 72 and he would have won four Brownlows if he didn't put the extra
weight on. He looks like Chris Hemsworth. He's that big.
All right. Yeah. Coming in at number five, for mine, the premier commentator for the last 25 years,
Bruce McAvaney, who comes in, I've checked this, at 67 kilos. And to be honest, Chief, Bruce's stats carry more weight than Bruce does. He is a skinny man's pin-up commentator.
In fairness, Howie, Bruce could bench press you.
We're not talking about that, but he's
in comparison, Bruce is a muscle man.
And we need some context. So 67, he's 4'11".
No, he's not. His body mass weight index is 24% lower than the average commentator in the AFL.
And he is an elite runner, Howie.
Yes, and he's skinny.
And he's a gun.
And he's a pin-up boy. Now, this next one I find interesting. Because at number four is a gentleman by the name, you'll like this, Damo, Jack Skinny Titus. Now, Jack, Chief, this is where it gets interesting. Kicked 970 goals.
Who played in the 1930s.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Not good enough to get to 1,000.
You know what he weighed? Well, hang on, Chief. He weighed 65.5 kilos. He was 175 centimetres tall. But when you analyse Jack Skinny Titus's goals per kilo, he kicked 14.8 goals a kilo. Now, the Chief, with his 1,254.
Is this the funny stuff that Snorkel said he was coming in with?
I'm missing your top five all of a sudden, Baron.
I'm missing the humour.
Chief's chewed out.
Chief, your 12 goals a kilo.
Oh, this is comedy. Hang on, here we go.
Is 11. So he's in front of you. It's not comedy. I'm just pointing out the facts.
Jerry Seinfeld's come in.
Number three of the skinny men that are dominating the world of AFL, the Chief Executive Officer, Gil McLachlan, who he's known in the industry of skinny blokes as a flat bummer because when you try his suit on, it just doesn't fill out.
Mate, that's because he's stressed. He thinks the league's going to blow up. He was 15 kilos overweight 2 years ago.
He's 6'8" as well.
Yeah, he is 6'8".
Does anyone have a big needle and some sutures? I need to stitch my sides back up.
Chief, it's not funny. It's to give respect to the skinny men.
We know it's not funny, mate.
Yeah, correct.
Gil, are you going to go with the last two?
Piss off,
are you
going to roll
it up? He's still going with it.
Gil lost 12 kilos in COVID. He comes in at 91. He's skinny. My number two. Who's my number two? Oh, yeah. My number two. Pin-up boy, All-Australian captain this year, dominated as a skinny man, Max Gawn. Very skinny, does.
Max Gawn. Seen the width of his shoulders?
He used to be fat, though.
He's a big man, Chief.
He's skinny. He's compared to the rest of the
world. He's still 100 kilos.
He's a big man.
He's lean while he's playing footy, but he's a fat man waiting to come out.
He's 99 kilos. He's 99 kilos, but he's skinny. You're telling me he doesn't look skinny out on the ground? He's
99 kilos can't be skinny, Howard.
Yes, it is.
Muscle bound.
He's the biggest man in the competition, Howard.
Look at him. He's skinny, and he's your Australian captain.
Guns the size.
He's got guns like your quad.
Chief, tell me why we play this great game.
His beard weighs more than you.
Why do we play this great game? Why do you boys go out there? You mentioned how many premierships
you won. Because
we love
it. No, I play because I love the game.
How many premierships do you win?
I was fortunate enough to win four, but we play the game because we love it, mate.
So you would imagine
we love it.
Therefore, that success is judged in premierships. And now this is my number one man for the pin-up for the skinny operators, a gentleman that played for 21 seasons, Dars, and played in 11 grand finals. Michael Tuck, 7 premierships, 6'2". 74 kilos.
But Howard, the one skinny thing you're missing here,
he's
all
skinny.
The skinny guys wear long sleeves because they're so embarrassed about their arms.
But they're still skinny.
Cade Simpson, long sleeves, worried about his arms.
So you with your fat calves, Tucky won 7 more premierships than you and represented by the skinny man. And you know I'm right here.
He wasn't skinny, he was wiry.
No, he was bloody skinny.
He was wiry.
I admire your perseverance with that, Howard. That was good. You were paddling early, but you got through it.
And
I didn't mind it.
So we
can we move on?
Question your sort of
your skinny, shabby,
very tiny body that you've got, and you're comparing yourself to Michael Tuck.
I'm just saying.
Was that sort of the conclusion you're hoping
at
draw?
The elite level in this competition?
You're a bit more Pee Wee Herman.
It's about time you fat bloke started giving us a bit more respect.
Now listen here, Urkel. I'm starting to weigh up why I actually came back tonight.
And did any of those skinny blokes, Howard, require their voice to be deepened when they're broadcasting?
I don't know. Time now to be joined by our... I don't know what
you eat, Harry. I'm concerned. Are you eating or not?
I'm eating and I'm fine and I'm skinny and I'm proud.
Yep. Mm.
Joining us on the program now is a man heavily involved in the Melbourne Football Club. So much excitement about this particular campaign by the Demons. His name is Alan Richardson. He joins us on the line now. Mark Howard here. Alan, good evening to you. How are you going?
Yeah, good, Howie. Obviously, really exciting night for the footy club and for the players, and we're looking forward to it.
I know it's all about the players, but what about yourself? You've been through these campaigns before over your long and illustrious career. Do you get a little bit edgy, or is it just 1 week at a time?
No, it's not 1 week at a time. No, there's a lot on the line. Obviously, both clubs know what they're playing for, what we're fighting for. It's there's a bit of nerves, there's a bit of excitement. It all goes into the wash and it creates a lot of butterflies in the stomach, I can tell you.
Richo, you've been around long enough to read people. How are the players handling the weight of expectation, the momentous occasion that has presented itself and the possibility of ending a 57-year drought?
They're not thinking that way. I mean, that weight doesn't really come to bear. It's probably been quite fortunate, I reckon, that we've been out of Melbourne, that we've been cut off from a lot of that sort of noise over in the hub. But clearly, there's an opportunity to go through to a grand final, to go through to achieve what we've set out to at the start of the year, certainly internally and externally. So there's a lot of pressure, but I think the boys are handling it really well. They've got real clarity on what they need to do to get the job done. They know what their best game looks like. They know what it looks like when we haven't been at our best. And that, you know, the last time we played the Cats, the second quarter showed us that we can get hurt pretty badly if we don't execute. So real clarity, real confidence in their own role. Probably couldn't be more ready, really.
Richo, there was a review at the end of the year, as there is every year, and there were the things that needed addressing and you know, pressure in footy environments you know all about. But was there a moment earlier in the year, in the pre-season, early rounds, where you went, we're onto something here, we've got a special year ahead of us? Did you get that sense at any particular time?
Probably a couple of things, Dars. Yeah, the way that the players spoke post the meeting that they'd had about some of the things that come out of the review and their need to drive the footy club from a leadership perspective, and that had to continue. Obviously, you've been in those conversations, Dars, where there's a lot of really strong conversation had, and it can either be an event or it can be something that has a real influence on the way that you behave and the way that you act. And it was all about team and being selfless and this is what it takes. But I think the other part for me was in fact the game and the method that we've had to rely a lot on dominance in terms of entry and certainly centre bounce and clearance, and we've been able to win other ways. That's been the part that has made me sit back and go, okay, gee, we can do it a couple of different ways now. And that hasn't been the case for a couple of years. So that's pretty exciting.
The romantic part to football is Nathan Jones in this game, I would have thought. Does he get an opportunity at some point over the next couple of weeks? How many injuries deep do you have to be for that to happen?
Oh, he's pretty close, Brownie. We've been really keen to keep the team as stable as possible. We certainly, from a defensive perspective, more so than any other part of our game, we do rely on, you know, strong connection and guys having played with each other. I'm talking about the 18, not just the back six. And so, you know, we've been keen to keep the team together if we win. And clearly, if we're playing next week, that means we've won. So it's unlikely there'd be a lot of change unless there's injury, but he's as close as anybody. You know, his form has been great. His attitude, we'd expect nothing less, really, because he's just a super fella. But his attitude to help his teammates, to improve his teammates in meetings and a training session, training sessions, has just been brilliant. So he's really close.
Now, and one of the people keeping him out is the young Jake Bowie, who at 18 years of age has only got the 5 games, but looks right at home, hasn't he, to this point of a very short AFL career?
Yeah, no, he's. I reckon he's going to be a pretty special player. He's already done some good things. He's very clean. So ground ball, 250, where you're under enormous pressure, given the teams that are left. Certainly, all the teams in the finals put on enormous forward pressure, and as soon as they get the ball in their front half, it's really hard to get it out. His ability to be able to execute initially under pressure, but to be so clean, has been good for us, particularly when Hunty went out of the team with his injury. So. No, he looks really poised. We love him with the ball in his hands. His defence has been clearly strong enough to keep his position, and he's going to be a beauty.
Richo, we'll get out of your hair. You've got bigger fish to fry than talking to us. Best of luck to you and the Demons. So many people so interested in this game tonight. Thanks for having a chat with us on the Friday Huddle.
Good on you, lads. Have a great call.
Oh, massive, massive game of footy this one between Melbourne and
Just before we move on, I've had time to reflect. That last segment that we did before speaking to Richo.
Skinny man.
Can I just put forward a motion for Friday Night Footy that Howie's banned from trying to do comedy at any time in the future.
If you had your time over again,
like
you probably wouldn't go
motion.
Skinny men uniting around the country saying that we are respectful and proud of what's going on.
That shit's not funny, mate.
Before we get to the break, I think there's some breaking news in the West that Damo's got. Just hold on the music for a sec, Damo. What's happening?
No, you won't believe this, Howard. The entire Geelong playing group, the assistant coaches and other fringe personnel have just met on the grass. You won't believe it.
Seriously?
You need to explain the context around that, Warrior.
Well, the context around that, Chief, is they've been doing it for about 3 years. Every single game before they play, they meet as a group on the ground, and Das felt that he saw it for the first time in about round four this year and dropped as an exclusive.
I did that four or five times, Damo, and I still enjoy it. You bring something to the people that maybe they didn't know. Of course,
we'll get
I
that
knew.
Audio
you
like
out,
the skinny stuff.
We'll have to get that audio out.
They met as a group, Howard. They met as a group.
Well done, Damo. Even Damo's bringing the funny stuff tonight.
Triple M rocks footy.
That was class.
Nathan Brown knows crypto.
You only lose when you sell.
He knows conversation.
I know Orbit better than anybody.
And he knows humility.
There was no other player in the competition winning games off his own bloody boot. And as good as I was.
But how much does he know about Hollywood?
I get very excited about movies.
This is Captain Awesome's...
Let's have some fun
there. ...Movie Mania.
Hi, Chiefy.
Matty Hayward's been in form.
Oh, well, here we go. Who's playing from our loyal Triple M listeners?
I think it's Toeball on the line. Hello, Toe.
How you going, mate?
Good, mate. What do you like on music?
Oh, yeah, not too bad.
Got nothing to do with music, Howard.
Given it's a movie quiz.
What about movies?
Yeah, movies are all right, too.
Okay.
And Toeball, is that, have you got the big bald nut Toeball? Is that where that comes from?
Yeah, that's it, mate. Not a hair on it.
Nothing wrong with baldness, mate. It's a sign of masculinity.
Prizes, Chief. Right. Prizes. What's he playing for? Nath?
A couple of cryptos.
Yeah, a 0.02 of a Ren.
What do you got for him, Darth?
A wicked Sukavati Bali.
Okay. And, Chief, you won't be aware that Howie Games has now got a full merchandise line, so we'll get him a couple of T-shirts.
He needs a cap.
Okay, Howie Games cap on the
Toeball, test your buzzer, please.
Toeball.
There we go. Brownie, what are you running with?
Bitcoin Brown.
Bitcoin Brown.
Why
arrogance.
Didn't you just go with Nathan Knob? Would have been better.
All right, here we go. In Top Gun, what was the call sign of Maverick's rear or co-pilot?
Come on, mate.
Oh, this is embarrassing. I'm going to give Toeball the first one.
Hello, Toey.
What do you got, Toey?
One of the greatest movies of all time.
Yeah, not sure, to be honest. Oh.
Brownie?
No,
don't look it up on that. Shut that, please.
Take his iPad away, Leroy, right now.
Boys, the answer was?
Iceman.
No.
Goose.
Goose. Duke, what are you going on with Iceman? Was Val Kilmer.
Howie looked at you like, I got no idea. You don't ask me.
I just said Goose.
It was Goose.
I just gave the correct answer.
Oh, my God. This is so bad. So bad.
If it's so bad, it's so good.
All right, we move on to question two. Play It Sam, and not the often misquoted Play It Again Sam, is from which Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman movie?
Do you want me to come in again, Chief?
Oh, come on, Brownie.
You go, Toeball.
Blokes feet, Ingham.
But what year was this? Toeball, what do you got?
What do you think?
I've got no idea.
Brownie?
I've got no idea,
Howie?
Chief. It's a long time ago.
Thank you, Casablanca.
I would have gone with that too.
It's still well, zero all.
This could be a nil-nil draw.
Listen very carefully and name this movie.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Bitcoin Brown.
Brownie.
That was La Bamba.
No, it wasn't. Toeball, do you know?
Dirty Dancing.
Yes, I would finally have a score.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
I'm on the ball. 1-0
officially in the corner.
1-0 after three.
This is so bad.
He was so confident in his head.
Just?
That's a song they sung.
No. One zip to Toeball. Yeah. Here we go. Question four. Name two Kevin Costner baseball movies.
Brown.
Brown.
Bitcoin Brown.
Yes.
Two Kevin Costner baseball movies.
Anytime today.
Three.
Two.
Nah.
Toeball.
Field of Dreams.
Yes.
I'll get off the internet, Toeball.
And what?
That's the only one I've got.
Half a point.
Bull Durham would have done it. For Love of the Game would have done it. Upside of Anger would have done it.
Half a point. One and a half.
Are we giving half?
Not half a point.
One and a half to zero.
Jeez. You just
sucked in.
Question five. He just said sucked in, I think. who is taller, Sylvester Stallone or Nicole Kidman?
Bitcoin Brown.
Brownie.
I am going to go with Nicole Kidman.
Correct.
Wow. He was nervous.
One and a half to one.
He was nervous.
One and a half.
Sly's about 3'8", isn't he?
One and a half to one. Well, Nicole Kidman's 1.8 metres tall, and he's 1.77.
Okay.
Question six. It's 1.5 Toeball, 1 to Brownie. In the movie Jerry Maguire, who first said, "Show me the money"?
Bitcoin Brownie.
Toeball. Brownie.
That would have been Tom Cruise.
Incorrect. Toeball.
Oh, is that Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Correct!
Yeah.
Correct! Yeah. 2.5 to 1.
This is after the quant.
This is embarrassing because he went confident again.
Yep. This is good.
And completely
it's reflecting poorly on the Friday huddle.
Come on, Nate, lift.
Question seven. Name three of the five Marx brothers.
Bitcoin Brown.
Yes, Brownie.
He doesn't look confident here.
Richard.
Toeball, any idea?
Carl?
No! We're not practicing communism. It was Groucho, Harpo, Chico, Zeppo, and Gummo. This is extraordinary.
I know a lot about this.
You nearly got a point for Richard, though. You nearly got a point for that.
What have we got? 2.5 to 1.
2.5 to 1.
2.5 to 1. 3 questions left. Right. Multiple choice. Only one actor has ever won 4 Academy Awards in acting categories. Is it A, Katharine Hepburn, B, Daniel Day-Lewis, or C, Meryl Streep?
Bitcoin Brown.
Toeball.
Meryl Streep.
Incorrect.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Incorrect. It was Katharine Hepburn. He had a 50-50 and still stuffed it up.
He won 2, didn't he, Daniel Day-Lewis?
Oh, yeah, correct.
Yeah. Oh, so how many to go, Chief?
2 questions to go, and it's 2.5 plays 1. So Brownie needs them both to win.
You can't get half a point for getting half one right.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Actually, you can.
Shut up,
they're all against you, Brownie. Listen carefully and name this movie.
What we've got here is...
Bitcoin Brown.
Brownie?
Cool Hand Luke.
Correct! Oh. Game on! Oh. It's game on! Oh. 2.5 plays 2, and it comes down to the final question.
It's also the start of a Guns N' Roses song for half a point.
Sorry?
It's also the start of a Guns N' Roses song.
Excellent.
Not for half a point, sorry.
Mm, okay.
So, no. Nate trails by half a point.
Correct.
This is the final question.
This is the final question.
Okay.
Jump in with your buzzer when you know. What movie featured these lines? A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans. Brownie.
Oh. So onto the lambs.
Oh, he's pipped him. Oh. He's pipped Toeball at the wire.
What happened, Ball? Toeball, are you still there?
Yeah, it's still here. That's the stitch up I've ever seen once.
The stitch up? We couldn't have worked any harder.
It couldn't have been any worse.
Stitched himself up, Toeball. Hey, Toeball, we appreciate you having a go, mate. I thought you had him.
Thanks, boys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, mate.
Thanks, Toeball.
Unfortunately, no Allegiance merchandise, no candles, no nothing.
That could not have been further from a stitch up.
No.
Brownie was clueless.
Download the Listener app now to stream every game on Triple M Footy.
Can you believe it?
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
I believe we've got a guest on the line, Darcy.
We have, and a superstar in every measure that you could possibly put on the board. Speaker Corey Enright, assistant coach at the Cats. Welcome, Boris. How are you?
Yeah, going well. It's going to be a good night.
Now, can I ask you, handing the reins over for your games record at Geelong, that must have, as humble as you are, and we know that you've never sought out too many credits that... weren't your way. In fact, you've been incredibly humble all the way along. But hand it over to Joel Selwood. That must have been a magic moment to be there and to that great player.
Yeah, obviously it was a really good night, and we got the result for him. And yeah, it was nice to be a part of in a small way, and obviously show our appreciation and respect for a great person and a great player.
A lot of people keep referring back to the round 23 game. I don't know if we read too much into it, mate, but is it a case of... you just try to play your own game, and if you play it well enough, you win, rather than trying to do something different?
Oh, I think so, particularly at this stage of the year when you get down to the last couple of games, you should be really nailing in on what you do well, and obviously have an eye and an ear out in the opposition camp. But I think if you get your game going towards anywhere near capacity, then you're going to give yourself a good chance. So, yeah, a lot of the focus has been on us.
And a lot of the focus was on Gary Rowan after a poor performance last week, but I thought his first rundown chase tackle of Whitfield early in the game got him in it. He's a big confidence player. Is that what he just needs to focus on early before starting to get on the end of the football?
Yeah, he's a really good pressure player for us, and his ability to create contests and get to contests is what he's really good at. If he gets to enough contests, we feel like he's going to be able to impact and hit the scoreboard as well. So, yeah, his first job is to get out the opposition and apply that enormous pressure and get himself in the game and will himself and impose himself on the opposition.
Corey, it's taken a long while for people to work out Ruckman are the most important players in the game by some stretch, and I know you'll support that. You've got a 5-time All-Australian Max Gawn. Now, I'm being serious with this question. Was there any thought about putting a hard tag on him with Reece Stanley? I mean, seriously, going after him everywhere he went on the ground and trying to curb his impact, because he's going to be a massive factor tonight to try and overcome.
He's huge, yeah. He's been a really good player for a long time. He's a dominant player for them. So, yeah, it's a one of about 6, 7, or 8 players that we obviously have to have a huge focus on, and obviously help our ruckman out when we can. But we know he's going to be there, and he's going to be there late. So yeah, it's just important that we do our best on him, and we feel like if we can exploit him in a few things, we'll have a good opportunity against him. But yeah, we just got to nullify him as well when he's on top. So really important for our rucks, but also our guys at ground level as well, that they fight the fight and get the job done.
Corey, when you lose a grand final as you did last year, and then you bring in Jeremy Cameron, giving up 3 first-round draft picks, I know you've got 2 second rounds back, but you then get to the next season's preliminary final. I know you're all about team, and I know that he's just one member of the 22, but it's an important night for him, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, we obviously targeted Jez and got him across to our club, and he's had a bit of an up-and-down season, obviously, through some injuries, but we've got him to our club to help us win games and help us win finals. So, we feel like he's contributed really well across the season. He's fitted in really well. And again, like we expect him to do what he's done for us all year. And he's going to have some impact, no doubt.
Corey, how's the boss going? I mean, we see Chris Scott do a heap of media and he always looks super calm, super relaxed, very philosophical. It's got to be a little edge to him, surely.
Oh, 100%. I think we're all on a little bit of edge this time of year. And I'm just walking around the oval now. It's a great atmosphere here, and it's what we all play the game for. Whether it's you know, coaching, or whether it's, you know, filling up the drink bottle, it's what you're here for. So it's no doubt that makes you feel alive and makes you pop. And yeah, we're all on edge, and that's the way it should be. So again, we know the stakes are really high. We know the opposition are feeling it as well. So just really excited to get this game underway.
And Corey, you have named Sean Higgins as the medical sub tonight. There was obviously a requirement to replace Brandon Parfitt, and then Sam Simpson had some problems during the week. Just if you could just explain how that's transpired.
Yeah, obviously with Parfitt going down early last week and Guthrie filling in, we kept the lineup pretty similar to last week, really. It felt like we got the job done after Parfitt went down last week. So that was probably the main factor. And obviously with Sean, he's going to be a really important sub for us because he can play multiple positions and he's pretty experienced. So if he does get his chance, we're really confident that he'll come in and impact.
Mate, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Cats tonight. Always nice to have a chat with you on game night.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Corey Enright from the Geelong Football Club. What do you reckon, Chief? The boys are very, very bullish on Melbourne. The Cats, gee, they've done it so many times before.
Experience plays a big part, Howie. They have the one thing that the Cats have is enormous belief because they've been there and done it. And what we also know about them is the style of football that they play. It's normally a tightish game. They don't tend to get blown out of the water, and they don't tend to blow teams out of the water. So they'll back themselves to win a tight one. They'd love to be in that same sort of scenario as round 23. If they get one down to the wire, they'll back themselves to win it.
The question Dart asked was a good one. Do they go after Max Gawn? Do they put pressure on him? The other one is Jake Lever. Now, do they send Asava Radigalia to play a defensive role on Jake Lever to try and take his game out of the equation? And then you rely on Hawkins to beat Stephen May one-on-one out of the goal square. Big night for Chris Scott from a coaching perspective. I think Melbourne just do what they do normally defensively, but it's a big night for Chris Scott.
Hey, a lot to get through, and we're going to discuss the game further in detail. Rod Grinter not too far away from joining us.
Balls.
Big, big story earlier on in the year when our man, the Chief, went on Instagram, Chief_Dunstall. He's up to 40,000 plus
on Instagram.
Helped
his dating game no end.
Extraordinary. But there's been a new entrant. from the Friday Huddle team on Instagram for the first time. You need to check out at LukeDarcy14. Fantastic promotion for his podcast, Empowering Leaders, which I'm absolutely loving. Mate, what, you've joined Instagram, guru.
How many numbers has he got? Hang on.
Do you mean you've got other people operating your page?
There absolutely is someone else.
How many followers, Howie?
You put a boy on.
He's got 3,700 followers. He's following 29, and he sent 10 posts out all about his podcast called Empowering Leaders. So you're not doing it yourself. You're that big.
Well, no, it's connected to the Leader. Go to a Leader Collective, our leadership business. So they decided that perhaps we could send out some messages. So I launched that one day, the last day I did on Triple M. So the team convinced me that was a good idea and that I didn't know how to get the account and open it again, Howie. So I'm a newcomer, Chief, but perhaps you can give me a shout out.
No, this smacks to me, Brownie, of because it's his second podcast and he stuffed up the first one. He said, I've got to pull out all stops second time round. So if that means we start launching social media platforms, it's all designed to garnish support
and
for podcast number two.
And I've got to employ somebody to do it.
Yeah,
and that's not cheap.
I've got a clue.
That is not cheap.
Production hiatus, the first podcast, Chief. Not done and dusted yet. So get on board. How do you find me, Howie?
LukeDarcy14, and I'm not a social media guru. In fact,
you're active on that.
Yeah, but I'm not very good at it.
Sounds like he's going to give
you a clip. No, I'm not at all. I've just noticed that there's 10 posts, and they're all about his podcast. I think, from what I've been told recently...
lifestyle stuff.
Well, from what I've been told, you need to open up your heart and soul and give the people a bit of your personality, whether it's your dog, Dennis, or what you and Beck are having for dinner, so maybe some food
behind-the-scenes Darcy style.
I think we need to see a bit more of your
guru.
Maybe
sort of tops off in the spa at home or something, Chief. Would that get the crowd in, Chief?
Well, I'm not sure your top off will get the crowd in, but I just... of those 10 posts about the podcast, how many were positive?
No, they're his posts.
He's posting.
Yeah, he's got fantastic.
I say no one's interested. He's just desperately throwing out. He's got Burley in the water, is he?
Correct. It's a great guess. I enjoyed the Craig Ellis episode, but what I've been told.
What did you enjoy most about it?
His discussion about how he'd grown the triangle business from nothing to, and then he's.
Did he talk about how he cut Brownie off before?
No, don't go there.
I'm trying to remember whether we went down that path.
But I just think you need to give a little bit more of yourself to ask for people to. Really,
so put it out
on.
There a little bit more.
I feel really
comfortable doing that, Howie. I take that advice on.
You did that.
A bit of warmth would be good, Duke.
With the Lululemon campaign.
Which part of himself, Howie?
Do you think the family.
The aggressive part?
No. Don't put the real
Well, he
Darcy
used the family in the Lululemon thing.
Right.
All four of them.
And that was
another great course.
And the dog and everything.
Another great cause, absolutely. Something that was well received. So thank you for that. I appreciate the support.
We'd like to see something, all right?
I will do something.
In fact, we might send something out tonight. You and your upcoming
something behind the scenes. So I'll jump on and have a look. I'll go behind the scenes.
That's right.
Triple M rocks footy.
And what about this?
Top five up in a few moments. We're leading up to Melbourne versus Geelong, the first preliminary final. And then the Dogs take on Port Adelaide. Darce, I know you're a board member, so you need to be a little bit careful about what you say at the Dogs. But what's happening over there in Adelaide? I heard the Dogs aren't allowed out of their room to train.
Yeah, I understand that the health officer in South Australia... was not open to the team getting off the plane and doing a captain's run at the ground, which not has been the case that sides have always, I think, from what I understand it. But, you know, if you've come for 3.5 hour flight, you want at least be able to walk on the ground. So that wasn't available. But, you know, that's the nature of this year, isn't it? And so you go back into your hotel room and you work it out, and maybe there's a bit of extra motivation in all of that. They've been to Tassie, they've been over in Brisbane, and they've been all around the country. So it's a big challenge. In that environment to win an away final against Port Adelaide. But
is Abont all good?
He's got through really well from what I understand.
Good news.
And, some concern around his knee, but I'm told he trained really well the other day, which is good.
Confidence levels, Duke?
You wouldn't, an interstate final against a very strong side at a week off, you would say that's a huge challenge. But this side is a side that just have a great character. They give their heart and soul every week. They've got a handful of changes coming in, but they're not a side you back against, Chief, because they're a competitive side.
3 weeks, they were the best side with Melbourne in the competition. And I like the way Beveridge put it when he spoke about breaking the glass with obviously Steph Martin coming in as an emergency. So he's in right now. Probably doesn't play the whole game, but I'd imagine that he's going in there to play 2.5, 3 of the hardest quarters possibly to just get under the skin of him and just give it his best shot.
That may have been Duke leaning on Bevo too, getting a proper ruckman in there rather than the makeshift. I suspect he may have...
Well, that's what he claimed, anyway.
There's a proper ruckman over at Port Adelaide, Scotty Lysett. I think he's right in the conversation. behind Big Max. He's a serious player and does a really good job. So you want a good story if Steph Martin gets out there after however long he's had out of the game.
I think it's 100 days or something. Damon, yeah. What's the news floating around about both these finals?
About both these finals?
Just the sort of the news headlines at the moment floating around both these games.
Oh, well, I suppose three of the four clubs had to make a change. The Power was the one team that didn't have to make any change. And I think to Darcy's point, the fact they've been able to go into this game with the week off and have been settled now for a good 4 to 5 weeks. I think that was the takeout of the first week and second weeks of the finals. But the Martin thing does interest me because Luke Beveridge last week all but ruled him out on record. And then even on the day of selection yesterday morning on SEN, again, all but ruled him out again. So something has happened there, and I don't claim to know what it is.
That's the Duke factor, Warrior. The Duke factor. Yeah.
And Zane Cordy obviously coming in for Alex Keith as well. It's another setback, but as Darcy has said, there's a resilience about this Bulldogs outfit that defies what's in front of them, both injury-wise and also COVID restriction-wise.
And how does the grand final week unfold, Damo? Where's the Brownlow fit, the grand final parade? Like, what's happening the week of?
It'll be Sunday night for the Brownlow, Howie. The parade itself will go ahead, but not in the roam the streets fashion. There'll be a confined aspect to it. It'll be a ticketed event. It'll be free. The city, from what I can gather, Howie, we've only been out today out of quarantine, but the just reading and watching the local news, it has fully embraced this setup this year. And that's I've never seen a town so excited. That's inclusive of Melbourne. In the lead up to it, the precautions around the parade. It was the AFL's decision to not have it through the streets, like the Perth City Council wanted, like the state government, I think, wanted as well as the AFL, but they're just taking the view, Howie. They're getting closer, obviously, with each day, but there's still a few hurdles to jump through, and they just do not want to take any form of risk when it comes to COVID in relation to the runway that is going to be a two-week period now between these prelim finals being completed tomorrow night.
And do you get booed and hissed at on the street being a non-West Australian, Damo? As a Victorian,
it's just
you have to
a regulation walk down the street for Damo.
So far.
Do you have to wear a sticker or anything to say I'm not West Australian and I'm allowed to be here? Or how does it work?
It is weird because the natural tendency is just to take the mask with you, and I've still got it. But I reckon if you put it on here, you might actually get accosted. It's that sort of. There's nothing going on. I've not seen one since I've left the quarantine this morning, and I don't know. Like, I wouldn't like to see what would happen to someone who tried to put one on. And so we don't need that over here. So they've. It's a very different way of life over here, and. Well done to them on some fronts, on all fronts, for keeping it out to this point.
While you're over there, well done to them on all fronts is what I'd be going with, Damo, or you'll get sent back to your Sharpies. All right, time for...
He's a self-proclaimed footy superstar.
I reckon I was probably the most influential player in the AFL.
He fears nothing and no one.
This is all off-air stuff that you're not allowed to talk about on air, but I've gone with it anyway.
And he sees the world a little differently.
Just watching a Komodo dragon eat a monkey.
This is Nathan Brown's Top 5.
All right, Noodles.
Let's get into it, Howard, because I was going to do a Top 5 or Top 10 Chief tonight because that was everybody's favourite over the course of the year, but I'm going to hold that off to the grand final next week, and Chief has dominated grand finals.
There's a little bit of redemption in this because we had a bad experience with the top five earlier in the show.
Yeah, it was terrible.
So we need this to stand up.
Even when
up
it's good, it's bad because Howie's was bad and we're able to, bag him on the back of that. But
a lot of positive.
I come up with the idea. There's a lot of strange laws around at the moment. We're all in lockdown and there's a lot of things you can and can't do. There's a lot of confusion about. And I got the idea for a top five when I heard and then on the news and then I read about this story in the paper that a late-night council meeting down at the city of Derebin, which is a Greens and Labor-dominated council, voted unanimously to ban nuclear weapons. This is the city of Derebin. Just in Melbourne, they decided to ban nuclear weapons. Now, that raised a few eyebrows for me, Howard. I don't know why they would need to ban nuclear weapons.
Did they have many down there in Darabin or
not? I'm not sure.
On launching an attack on Williamstown, or was there some sort of that?
This is in the news. You can catch up with this. But
So has that forced some of the other councils to close down their nuclear weapon-making
well,
programs?
Well, I don't know, but they have banned them. And the Greens and Labor dominated, Chief, so they're not big on nuclear weapons down in the city of Darabin. But then our own Darcy's great mate, talking about the Rye Backbeach, he's not happy with the sunsets either.
There's a whole bunch of people down the Rye Backbeach last night who thought the best thing to do is to go and watch the sunset. I'm sure it was a beautiful sunset. But that's not in the spirit or in the letter of these rules.
So the laws have changed, Howard. So we're going to do the top five strange laws in our country.
I like it.
The strange laws that are in our country. And I've tried to take a little story to go with each one. So the first story is about a former captain of mine at the Richmond Footy Club who was arrested in 2008. His name is Kane Johnson, and he was arrested for urinating on a police station. Now, Kane...
Sure, I'll be happy you're bringing that up again. No?
Leaves yeah, on, really well, happy. It was front page of the paper, Duke. So Kane lived on St Kilda Road,
okay,
directly across from police HQ over there, and was a big night out, and obviously... lost his bearings a little bit, but decided that where he was going to relieve himself was on the police station. And a couple of policemen said, "What are you doing there, mate?" He turned around and might have had a few choice words to say to them. But this is where, if he had known his laws, it would have been great. If a urinal is not readily available, it is legal to urinate on the rear left tyre of your vehicle, Howard. Now, this could have saved Kane Johnson many, many days of anguish over the next few days when he got
on
locked up.
On your rear left tyre.
So not your right tyre, Duke. Only your left tyre.
So that's still applicable.
That is still applicable in our country right now, Damien.
Our country or Victoria?
I'd have to get back to you on that.
Or a certain council, maybe.
And does it impact at all where you've parked your car?
No. Just, it has to be your vehicle, it said. The wording is your vehicle, Chief.
And, Nath, as evidenced by the start of the show, what if you don't know your left and rights like you? Can you claim that as a defence?
Well, you're in the slammer, Howard, unfortunately, so you've got to know your rules. Now, obviously, the Chief, he loves his sleep. This is number four. Doesn't get out of bed until 10:30 a.m. Sometimes he's in bed till midday. What he does watching TV all day, we've got no idea, but he gets up and he just roams around and does bugger all most of the time. Now, I've been told there's been a lot of complaints down in City Road, the Eureka Tower, at the moment, because in Melbourne...
Yes.
This is Melbourne. This is our city. Okay. It is against the law to vacuum between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. during the weekdays, and it is also 10 p.m. and 9 a.m. during the weekends. Now, we know the Chief likes to sleep until midday at least on the weekends. This is in accordance with Section 648A of the Environmental Protection Agency in 1970, and you can be fined, Chief, and I know you've been on the phone a lot this week about this noise complaint, $18,655 if you use your vacuum between 10 and 7 a.m.
Genuine line ball as to whether I broke that statute last night.
Really? You're quite out possibly doing late vacuuming, were you, Chief?
I had a little bit of vacuuming to do, mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes you just see something, you go, I'll grab the vacuum and go, yeah.
What do I picture?
I thought you'd get one of those robot vacuum cleaners, Chief. The ones where you just
hit
the
button. They're great, one, they don't do the job properly.
Okay.
Is it true that you vacuum in the nude, Chief, as the legend goes, or not?
You don't hijack Brownie's top five. He's got it going well.
Yes.
He's saving Friday night coverage after Howie's poor performance.
The next strange law involves our man, Damien Barrett, because Damien Barrett could have been locked up a few times. As we know, he hangs out with some guys that...
nefarious.
Flaunt the law.
Yep.
Maybe Jake King.
Yep.
We see him a lot over here at the Paper Shop Deli with Jake and Toby and all the boys. Now, that's the way Damien lives his life. But in Victoria, according to Section 70C Crimes Act 1958, corresponding or doing business with pirates is illegal and can result in 10 years imprisonment. And I think Jake King is the closest thing we have to a modern-day pirate, Damo.
Okay.
So I think you should be locked up.
Pirates, mate.
Are you and Jake still got the same friendship you've always had, Damo?
I think we do, Dust. Yes, we do.
Toby?
Very good man, Jake. Very good man.
You got anything else to add there?
Oh, you know him
Damien
better than I do,
Toby.
Nathan. I don't know Toby. I've met Toby, but I don't know Toby. But Jake's a very good person.
Sounds like he's in witness protection, Damien, all of a sudden.
He's not coming back from
can't
the
look
west.
Us in the eye.
Coming in at number two, Chief. Now, you know I've often said that I played the 10 greatest games of all time, but you always need a sidekick. And unfortunately, in that 10 weeks, I was a sidekick because myself and Matthew Richardson, it was thought of that we were sort of a Batman and Robin, a dynamic duo. And Inside Football magazine came out after I kicked five on Jimmy, and Jimmy was embarrassed, obviously, and had a picture of me and Richo walking off the ground celebrating. But they'd superimposed me with a Batman, a Robin suit on, and Richo with a Batman suit on. And then off to the side, on the front page, it had Lee Matthews as the Joker, and it had Mick Malthouse as the Penguin. Well, doing my research into strange laws, it is illegal in Melbourne to dress up as Batman and Robin.
Is it really?
It is illegal to dress up as Batman and Robin in Melbourne. And if you're wondering out there if I'm making this rubbish up, this is not. This you Google it and that's you'll just, find it out.
That's just ruined a couple of costume businesses.
Well, what about the Penguin?
I think your son's okay, Howard. Okay. He can. But the number one. So this is the number one strange law. And I've got to take it back to our man over there, the Duke. And Leon Cameron was his best man at his wedding. And you've never heard a more. Now, we know Leon Cameron is a straight shooter, very straight down the line. You don't get much out of Leon in the interviews. Very, very. Okay. Particular about what he says, Chief, but he's got a bit of a loose side back in the day. And you've never heard a more inappropriate wedding speech than at Luke Darcy's wedding. It would have been inappropriate at a sportsman's night out Dandenong. It was that bad. Normally,
fair to say Nana Darcy never forgave
you,
Leon.
No, funny you should say that. I still got down here. Nana Darcy was shocked. She heard words she didn't even know existed about our man
went
Duke over there.
Chief,
was he poleaxed or something?
It was the safest bet you could imagine. So this will be line and length, and he went to places that you should never. It was extraordinary.
Duke's anatomy he spoke about. It was extraordinary, the things he spoke about, Leon Cameron. And it was lucky that
you didn't
wedding,
behave that well either on that night. If I could,
it wasn't about me, Duke, but it's lucky the wedding wasn't in Victoria, because in South Australia, your home state, it is against the law to disrupt a wedding. It is against the law the way Leon did that night and forced Nana Darcy to walk out. According to summary offences, any person who intentionally obstructs or disturbs a wedding ceremony, whether secular or religious, could fine 10 years and $10,000 and 2 years imprisonment.
Where did you source all these laws, Brownie?
Just on the internet, Chief.
Yeah, I just checked that a few of them haven't been repealed.
And you might know that I've left you out here, Howard, and I've left you out here. But
special mention.
This is a special mention at the end.
Here we go.
And this is, I've got Ash Chua and yourself in this one as well.
Yeah, what's that?
No man, that is no man, under 4'8" tall or weighing less than 140 pounds is allowed to surf on Klondike Beach due to the size of the waves.
Where's
this? So that Klondike Beach, so that... It excludes you and obviously Ash Chua being
pounds,
less than 4.56, 4 foot.
45,
eight.
I reckon.
What about Winky Pop Beach, though? Brownie?
Okay. So 140 pounds is about 55 kilos.
I think I've got that covered.
No, I don't think you
I don't have. Think so, mate.
The Listener app is the home of everything Triple M footy.
So this is good for me.
Listen live or on demand.
Uh-huh. It just gets better and better.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
Damo, Lachie Neal, etc. I think that's been done and dusted, that trade story. But what else is floating around in the world of trade? Because we get to this time of year and that's what we start talking about.
Yeah, a couple of developments, Howie, on that space. Not as big names as Lachie Neal, nearly happening. Jake Kelly, the Adelaide defender, will be expected to nominate Essendon as his club of choice as a free agent. So we'll be coming back to Victoria. You've had a little bit to do with him, Darce, over the journey.
Young Jake
I
Kelly,
believe.
Did you mention? Yeah, he's a ripper, Jake, and great team person, and obviously son of Ned, who we all know and have had a great history with Ned. So yeah, you know. Obviously, the family's in Victoria. I don't know anything about it apart from I read it today. So, I think he was regarded as a future captain, Adelaide Crows. That's how impressive he is in terms with the group. So, he'll be a big addition. Do you think he's going to go to the Bombers, is he, David?
Yeah, that's the talk, Darce. So I know North Melbourne was keen. That they know he won't be going there. It's yet to be, as far as I can tell, made official. That will be the club of choice. But it is doing the rounds, and it will be Essendon being nominated. Jordan Dawson's an interesting one from the Swans, too, Howie. Just one more on that trade space. I think a really, really good player for probably 3 years now, but wanting to return to South Australia. And, again, another COVID-related reason, I believe anyway, for that potential trade back to his home state. So a bit of movement there. The big story of the day, though, was the continuation of the mayhem that's going on off the field at Carlton. Kane Little has been, parted company with the Blues as chief executive officer, was there for 4 years. Couldn't have done a better job in the off-field space when it came to generating income for the club and helping to erase its debt, but has got caught up in this power play that is clearly unfolding now at board level. Luke Sayers, 9 years on the board as a director, taking over from Mark Lejudice as chairman in the recent weeks. David Teague has been sacked, now the chief executive, Kane Little as well. Interestingly enough, Brownie, he was a member of the six-person panel to find the new coach of that footy club. So they are in disarray. There's no other way of putting it. The talk is that, and it's talk with a lot of validation, that it's Brian Cook, the outgoing Geelong chief executive since 1999. He's been at Geelong, having won premierships at West Coast Eagles prior to that. So that's the target of Luke Sayers now, but that club is in all sorts of mess off-field.
Big story, isn't it? Another big story at Carlton. Chief, you follow these things closely. Yeah, are you surprised by the chain of events there?
It's messy. It's messy, and it has been from day one. But at the end of the day, for everything that they've stuffed up, people are going to talk about it, and it's not going to go away. So the only thing they can do now is the only way to make it go away is to hit the ground running next season, which means find the best coach, get your list fixed up, have a good pre-season, and start well next year. And then if that happens, people will forget all this stuff. But if you start the other way, it just snowballs. And then people start talking culture, people start talking rabble, people start talking everything. So the challenge for them is to hit the ground running in season 2022. That's the only way to make all this stuff go away.
And, Darcy, your club at the end of 2014, when the captain walked out in Ryan Griffin and Sean Higgins also chose to leave, and then the coach was sacked, Brendan McCartney. Luke Beveridge wasn't appointed until even after the draft or about that period of year. Made the finals the very next year, won a premiership 2 years later. It can be turned around, to Chief's point, but at the same time, this has been happening of this type for Carlton now for the best part of 20 years. And just on that too, Howie, look, I know what Alistair Clarkson has said publicly quite recently, that he's out and that he's not going to be involved in footy at all next year. There's just enough talk around still of the people I speak to suggest that is still at least a pursuit of Luke Sayers.
Just for the record, are you ruling Ross Lyon in or out today?
Well, as I accurately did, I think 3 weeks ago, Dust said he was out.
Are you rescinding your apology?
Did anyone apologise to you, Damo?
No, they didn't. Jace, but I did have a tongue tie there. But I wouldn't expect them to, because that's the sort of people they are.
We got black souls with it.
Two weeks in quarantine hasn't gone well for Damo.
I do appreciate your support last week, Chief. It was much appreciated.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, that was tasty.
The Friday Huddle's cult hero of the week was a tough, resolute player who enjoyed his visits to the tribunal. He represented the Demons in 134 matches as a defender turned forward, and he's currently the president of the Melbourne Football Club Past Players Association. Please welcome Rod Balls Greeter.
Oh, I reckon this man will be pretty toey tonight. Mark Howard with you. Rod, good evening. How are you feeling? Are you like the rest of the Melbourne fan base, just a little bit edgy? And great to speak to you.
Good evening, Howie and fellas. Yeah, no, look, very excited. Been very nervous all day, actually. Can't wait for it to start.
Hey, Balls, great to chat to you. And I see that you are officially the head of the Past Players Association, but I understand you do a power of work, and it's a very tight-knit community, the Past Melbourne Players. Tell us about your passion for that.
Yeah, definitely, Darcy. Since I came down from the country, the footy club has been a huge part of my life, and when that all finished, which happens very quickly, I got dragged back and ran for Neil Danaher for 6 years it was. So I was fortunate enough to have two eras of players from the footy club that I became really close mates with. And I was always one to organise footy trips and Mad Mondays and all that sort of stuff. So doing what I do at the with the Past Players, it's all about getting guys back together and enjoying one another's company and trying to look after one another. So it was really, it wasn't a real big deal at all.
Tell us about your time as a runner, Rod, because you played with a lot of emotion. Let's just say that you played on edge. How did you control that emotion when you were the runner, mate?
Well, it was great, Jace. It was one of those things where you're right out there and amongst all the action without obviously getting knocked around or knocking anyone around, except for there was one game against your mob, the Hawks. I do remember it at the MCG. We had Simon Godfrey tagging Shane Crawford, and I was obviously giving a bit of lip as I was running around, and I was getting stuck into Crawford, and
We were having a shot for goal, and I kept giving it to Crawf while I was waiting to give him a message. And Crawf looked up and just started running at me. And I said, shit, he's going to run into me. And Crawf gave me the big hip and shoulder. And I turned around, I couldn't believe it.
Now, Rod, obviously Terry Wallace coached both me and Darce, so there was an infamous incident with you and him, so we've always heard it from Plough's side. But what was the lead up to it? Because I think you ended up getting a 6-week suspension at the tribunal.
Yeah, well, the lead up was obviously a big game. It was the start of 1988 season. I think it was round two. The lead up was we were pumped and wanted to play footy and play it hard, and unfortunately, there was an incident that, I collected Terry a little bit too high, and I don't think he was promoting mouth guards at the time.
Oh, no. And did you ever settle that afterwards, Balls? Was there any communication between the two of you since?
Oh, look, we bumped into each other a bit close to when that sort of all sort of went all finished, but there was some legal action that took place, so that sort of left a really bad taste in my mouth. So I was always, if I ever walked past or bumped into Terry out and about, I'd always be polite and say hello, but that would be as far as it went.
Hey, now, I've been told, I don't know if this is true or not, Rod, but did you have a lawn mowing business with the great Gary Lyon?
Yeah, we did. During one summer, we obviously, back in the day, we all worked when we were playing footy, so we're always trying to earn an extra buck. And I bought a lawnmower and a whippersnipper and all that sort of stuff, and Gaz was floating around not doing much, so we teamed up together and started to mow some lawns. And there was one funny little thing. We didn't know much about what we're doing, by the way. Not that you need to know much about mowing lawns, but there was one old lady in Hawthorne there that we mowed a lawn. She was a mad Melbourne supporter, and we'd mowed her lawns and cleaned it all up, and we went back to the car and we go, oh, how much should we charge her? And Gaz looked at me and I said, oh, I don't know. So we wrote down a number on an invoice. We went back and we gave it to her, and she goes, oh, thank you very much, boys. You've done a lovely job. This grass underneath the tree over here doesn't seem to be growing. Is there anything you can do to help me get the grass to grow there? Well, Gary, for 10 minutes, crapped on about how this poor old lady would get the grass to grow under the tree, and then we took off.
We are speaking to Rod Grinter on the Friday Huddle Melbourne Colt Hero. Here's Damien Barrett.
Yeah, Rod, a lot of heartache and a lot of near misses for the Melbourne Footy Club since the last premiership of 1964. And you were central to a couple of those moments, weren't you, in the 87 prelim final and then obviously the 88 grand final. But you had a really close vantage point view, didn't you, of the drama that unfolded after the final siren in 87 when Gary Buchanan had that kick.
Yeah, look, I think I got off the hook on that one. That was one of those games, obviously, we've all heard about it. The D's had the wind for three quarters, and we were in control of the game except for that last quarter. And I was actually playing forward. I came back into the team after surprisingly being rubbed out to that preliminary final. I was playing at full forward on Ezzy, and Bucky was playing in the middle of the ground on Stephen Newport, and he went forward, Bucky, and the runner came out. This was late in the game, late in the fourth quarter. Runner come out and said, oh, you've got to go down and play on Bucky at full forward, me being full back. So down I trot, and you know, we had three or four opportunities to kick goals to put the game way out of reach, and unfortunately we didn't. And the last goal that we tried to kick and missed, the kick in went straight down the middle. Not sure of the flow of play, but ended up Bucky led, and I was right on his tail and tripped over his feet and pushed him in the back. Right on the 50-metre line, and the umpire obviously paid the free kick. And while I was standing on the mark, the siren was blowing, but none of us knew that that was happening because the crowd was going bananas. And Dipper had ran down around the wing to try and get a bit closer to goal, and Jimmy was coming from the middle of the ground and ran between me and Bucky, which gave him a 15-metre penalty. And then the siren, everyone sort of realised the siren had sounded, so he had that shot, and unfortunately for us, we were put out and the Hawks went through.
And the interesting part of that is, if you look at the footage, Bucky was shaping up to kick a torp before he got the 15-metre penalty. So yeah, he would be kicking a barrel from 55.
Yeah, well, you know how he can kick it. He probably would have done it anyway.
Yeah.
We are speaking to Rod Grinter on the Friday Huddle. Here's Nate Brown.
Rod, you played with some fascinating players. Obviously, Darren Bennett went off and played NFL. You've already spoken about Gary Lyon, but what about the small patch of footy Alan Jakovich played in the early 90s?
Yeah, Brownie Jacker was one of those freaks. You know, he went over to the Bulldogs for a little bit, but he was one of those guys that could just turn a game on its head. You know, he's a bit like Gary Ablett in terms of his strength and power. He obviously didn't get off the ground as much as Gary Ablett Sr., but he could kick 8 or 9 goals in, you know, in a 2 quarters. You know, he was amazing. And one of the things with Jacker, he was just a great character. He's a really good fella. He didn't really like training that much and didn't mind a dart. So that didn't really help him getting around the ground. But yeah, look, a really terrific fella. And sometimes the mountain, when we're doing pre-season training, just got too big for him, and he ended up getting bigger and bigger. And yeah, just caught up with him.
Right, unfortunately, we've got to get to the game, so we can't ask you in detail about how you used to punch Chief in the back of the head. But next time, next season, we'll get you on. Hey, mate, best of luck to you and the Demons tonight. A lot of people will be riding it hard. Hope your footy club gets the win. Thanks for having a chat with us.
Good on you, boys. Thanks very much. And go, D's.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.